listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to this AHDB Cyril's Naughty podcast, where we discuss this year's AHDB ADAS Fungicide Challenge. I'm Philip Dolber, AHDB's Cyril's Norseeds Knowledge Exchange Manager covering the Southwest region. I say we, I'm joined by Chloe Morgan, ADAS Research Scientist, Dr. Jonathan Blake, Principal Research Scientist and Associate Director at ADAS Rosemont, and last but not least, Ashley Jones, AHDB's Monitor Farmer from Saltash in Cornwall. With the reduction in the availability of key inputs in the arable sector, the need for integrated pest management is becoming increasingly more important for UK growers. AHDB's strategy sets out to encourage and enhance the uptake of IPM in farming. Through the sponsorship of the ADAS Wheat Fungicide Margin Challenge, we look to help farmers to develop crop management strategies that maximise gross margins rather than just yield alone. The challenge connects farmers across a network of regional sites to develop crop management strategies that focus on margin maximisation rather than headline yields. The challenge provides a fair comparison between farmers' regional fungicide strategies in winter wheat plots with a locally popular variety on a single site. All of the plots are taken through to harvest. The aim is to achieve the highest margin of grain sales over fungicide program cost. Chloe, if I could bring you in here, this year AHDB is sponsoring six groups across the country. Could you explain to us how the challenge works, please?
Yes, of course. So deciding on the optimum crop protection strategy in the spring requires judgment of the variety, its situation, how yield-affecting diseases can be controlled. So this year we've got six plot trials, each linked to a monitor farm group. Each trial is made up of entrants from the local monitor farm group and the wider industry. The trial is marked out by ADAS in a variety that's selected by the host farmer. And then the host farmer will apply all inputs to that trial area, except for the fungicides. The entrants in each region will then be allocated plots for which they decide the fungicide inputs. Included in all of the trials is an untreated, a blockbuster programme which is designed to be a sort of belt and braces approach, and an ADAS expert's entry for comparison. ADAS, with the help of the host farmer, will send all of the entrants updates on the crop, send them some photos and let them know what diseases are present as we go through the season. ADAS will then request the recommendations from each of the entrants about a week before each fungicide application is due, so this allows entrants to tailor their programmes during the season and make last minute decisions. Once all the fungicides have been applied, we then assess all of the plots for the disease, see how the treatments compare. And at the end of the season, as Philip has discussed, we'll be harvesting the plots with plot combined to calculate the yields. The margin of fungicide cost is then calculated by using the average grain price between January and September, the cost of the fungicides, and an application cost is added per fungicide application to account for the farm cost of applying the fungicides. The winner of each trial is the person with the highest margin over fungicide cost. So hopefully that outlines how the fungicides challenge is run.
Thanks, Chloe. That's great. Yes, that's a great summary. And we had some really interesting meetings at the end of the season, going through each other's programmes, the costs, and how that panned out in terms of net margin. Just looking back at last year's results for interest, or to discuss, describe the pathway we've come along. In 2019, we tested the approach on just a single site in Herefordshire. And then last year, we extended this to cover three regions, west, east and south. In 2020, as you recall, it was a relatively low pressure disease year. Generally, those that were bold reacting to the signals, reducing the number of applications and using cheaper protection products came out top of the pile. Looking at the three groups, firstly, in the west with the variety Graham, the differences in yield due to fungicide treatments were actually only modest and not statistically significant. Possibly influenced, we think, by the variable senescence and drought in the trial area. The untreated yield was the lowest at 8.1 tonnes per hectare, and the average yield response to the programmes was just 0.25 tonnes per hectare. The total fungicide spend ranged from £87 to £137 per hectare, and that excludes the ADAS blockbuster programme that Chloe referred to, which costed £263 per hectare. Due to the low yield responses in this trial, the untreated plots actually achieved the highest margins over fungicide costs. However, where man dabbled and fungicides were applied, host farmer Mark Wood actually got the highest yield with 8.6 tonnes per hectare and the best margin over fungicide cost programme of £1,320 per hectare. It's worth pointing out, though, that as there were no statistical significant differences in yield, the margin over fungicide costs is an extrapolation of a non-significant result, and therefore the differences do need treating with some caution when interpreting the results. Moving across the country to East Anglia, we had the variety Gravity, and here the untreated plots yielded a fraction over 10 tonnes per hectare on average. But again, only modest yield responses to treatment ranging from 10.6 to 11.5 tonnes per hectare. And although almost all the treatments yielded significantly more than the untreated, the differences between fungicide strategies were generally small, in many cases not statistically significant. Like the West, they may have been influenced by variable senescence within the trial area. The total spend here in the East on fungicides ranged a massive £100, from just £70 per hectare to £176. The highest yield was 11.5 tonnes per hectare, which was achieved by Brian Barker's high input strategy. However, Andrew Bott achieved the highest margin over fungicide cost programme of nearly £1,800 per hectare, with a three-spray strategy yielding 11.4 tonnes per hectare. Again, the same word of caution needs exercising about drawing too many conclusions, because some of the differences were not significant. And finally, coming down the south to Ashley at Saltash, here we had a crop of Skyscraper. This produced a lot of differences. The yields in the trial were very variable, which was due to drought highlighting the underlying differences in the field. The average untreated yield was just a modest 6.9 tonnes per hectare, and the average yield response to fungicides 0.9 tonnes per hectare, although this was not statistically significant. The total spend on fungicides ranged from just £97 per hectare to £175 per hectare, again excluding the ADAS blockbuster programme. The highest margin and yield, nearly £1,400 and nearly 9 tonnes per hectare, was achieved with a three-spray programme based on Dithane or Mancozeb. Once again, these differences should be treated with caution when interpreting the results. But going back to Ashley, you hosted us in 2020 and you're doing it again this year. Be interested in your thoughts and what you got out of it as a not just a host, but also as a competitor in the challenge last year at the Saltash Group.
Thank you, Philip. It was very interesting for me, especially as now I'm doing my own agronomy, to see the different ideas and different programmes which competitors did put forward to be used on their plots. Last year possibly wasn't the best year to do a fungicide trial because of the low disease pressures and also the drought pressure we had. But it was very, very interesting for myself to have Jeff from ADAS visit the crop various times and giving me disease reports and disease levels, as well as his general thoughts on what should be done with the crop, which was a big bonus. And one thing which was surprising was the range of costs and the costs of different fungicide programs. It's very easy as a grower to get stuck with one fungicide program and do the same or similar every season. But it really did highlight that you could achieve good results with a lower fungicide spend. You don't have to chuck loads of money at a crop to get good returns. And then, yeah, really, it was just really seeing what other people suggested should be done to their plots. And after the crop had been harvested, just really going through the report and seeing disease levels and how much people had spent. And just the feedback at the end was definitely very good for myself to get involved in that.
Thanks, Ashley. Perhaps we can get an early, we're recording this at the beginning of April, just get an early insight into what you're seeing in your crop this year. Is it a more normal, if I can call it that, higher disease year, or are levels similar to last year, despite the different weather pattern?
This year, we're definitely coming out of the winter in a lot better situation than we did do last year. The crop which has got the trial on it this year is Sundance, so it's a high resistant variety, especially against Septoria. We are finding very low levels of septoria now in the crop, nothing to get concerned about. Possibly a month ago, when there wasn't much leaf, we were seeing quite a bit of septoria, but now the crop has grown, the septoria levels haven't really advanced any because we've had a dry period. We have got a very good, healthy, decent crop looking this year, so fingers crossed things will look good come harvest. But the other varieties on the farm are equally as good, very low levels of disease, just finding little bits of septoria. So things are looking good so far. Just hope we don't have another drought.
Good to hear, Ashley, and we'll wait with anticipation to see how the results come out. As we've said, there are six groups participating this year that AHDB is sponsoring with ADAS. As we said, Saltash again with Ashley. We're back in the West at ADAS Rosemont. In East Anglia at the Duxford Monitor Farm site. In the East Midlands, the Vale of Bever Monitor Farm. And then up in the north and the northeast at Huggett Monitor Farm, and in the northwest at Lym near Warrington. I'll explain in just a little while how you can keep in touch with the challenge as we go through the season at the different sites. Firstly, though, perhaps I can bring in you, Jonathan, here just to get your insight and thoughts for what we're seeing at the moment and what the future holds in terms of disease control with chemical artillery available and variety selection and so on, for listeners to get your insight. Jonathan.
Last year we had a very mild winter, and with that came a lot more yellow rust in the spring. This year we're looking at a much more normal winter where yellow rust hasn't proliferated. So I think the balance of pathogens has altered for the season ahead. And although we are starting to see yellow rust on the most susceptible varieties, the Inciters, Kinetics, Benningtons, Gravities, Gleams, and in some instances Graham too, and one or two other varieties, it tends to be in those places that are less prone to severe frosts, near to the coast and perhaps further south, that we're likely to see rusts as more of a problem. But it's been more controllable this season. It hasn't been as early and not as severe in conditions in the last a couple of weeks actually haven't been that conducive. I think the stronger winds have reduced the humidity, and we haven't seen it really take off in the way that it has previously. Certainly in the southwest and in some other parts of the country further west, I would expect septoria is going to be the bigger problem. And we haven't had a bad year for septoria for a few seasons now. We've had some very quiet springs, very dry conditions through April and May in the last couple of years. Additionally, we've also had the benefit of chlorothalonil. And it's interesting, Ashley mentioned that tendency for us to stay with the same program that we've had previously. When we're not in that position, we can't do that this year, in that nearly all programs in the last 5 or 10 years have included chlorothalonil, either at both the two key timings, at T1 and T2, or at one or the other of those. Chlorothalonil is no longer available. And we haven't in the last couple of years had to really rely on the activity of STHI azoles. As was touched on a moment ago, the winning program down in the southwest last year was based on diethane and mancozeb. Well, that's extraordinary, really. And I imagine that'll only be the only season where we are likely to see that, because usually in the southwest we would rely on stronger chemistry than that to control disease. And we certainly wouldn't be able to put a program together with any confidence that would rely solely on those chemicals. So how do we look at it for the season ahead? We've lost chlorothalonil. We're going to have to rely, if the season is something approaching an average season, much more heavily on chemistry we haven't had to rely on as much of late, the STHI azoles. They formed part of our programs, but the activity of the multisites has almost been enough in these quieter, more protectant seasons. So we are going to have to rely on the STHI azoles. Is there anything we can do to improve our strategy further? Well, There's a couple of things that spring to mind. We have just recently heard that Inovoc, a new fungicide mode of action for use in cereals, has been registered. This is from Corteva, previously known as Inatrek. It is QII, it's a different mode of action, and is very active on Septoria. And although only small quantities are likely to be available this spring, it's a chance for us to have a look and see how that performs in fields. We've been testing it for the last 6 or 7 years, and it has good activity on Septoria. So that is a new change, and will help us to rely less heavily, perhaps, in the future on the STHI group that we've been using of late. The other thing we should always consider is what other multi-sites are available. We've been using chlorothalonil, that was a multi-site fungicide. Clearly, for a resistance management point of view, we want to use chemistry that has an equal efficacy to the partner that we're concerned about, that we're wanting to protect. And ideally, then, you'd use something with a similar level of protectant and curative activity to that molecule you're trying to protect. And ideally, you would then mix single-site modes of action with similar levels of efficacy. The mixture would be the ultimate, I think, in terms of a resistance management strategy. A strategy that involves a sequence of two different modes of action would also be good. But in terms of mixtures, we've lost the chlorothalonil treatment. Are there any other multi-sites we can turn to? Well, one is Mancozeb, which you mentioned earlier, and that is still available for this spring. Folpet is the other, and both those two multi-sites may have a role to play. In terms of a complete resistance management strategy, they're not brilliant in themselves because they're only working in a protectant scenario, and sometimes our fungicides are challenged in both protectant and curative ways. But they will only ever add to the resistance strategy or the improvement in efficacy and improvement in resistance management of any program that's put together. So their use can only be seen as positive from a resistance management point of view. The key question out there, though, is whether or not we get a benefit in terms of efficacy that is cost effective. And it has to be cost effective for us to be considering it as part of a strategy. It's unlikely that any grower will be applying fungicides purely to slow down the evolution of resistance to another part of the product. We have to see a cost benefit in that year. And that's the key question is, and we have, I think, to some small extent seen cost benefits from the inclusion of Folpet and Mancozeb in programs, even in the last couple of years. I think if we have something approaching a more normal season, the size and scale of that benefit could be larger. And I think we found that they can work effectively and improve the efficacy of any of the existing SDHI azoles, and also appears to work. Folpet, we know, works reasonably well with Inovoc, this new QII. So there are modes of action out there, other multi-sites that we should perhaps be thinking of, both from resistance management, but also from an efficacy perspective. Because I think in something approaching, especially in the Southwest, where we have a higher pressure, they are chemistries that could add to our protection against Septoria and help prevent a slow erosion of, or even a fast erosion of single site modes of action.
Thanks, Jonathan. That's a really interesting insight there, and it's good to hear there are options and indeed new options going forward. But as you've highlighted, you know, the need to weigh up the cost benefit balance, and I guess in conjunction with that attitude to risk. So to keep in touch with progress through the season ahead, there will be an AHDB website. So just search AHDB 2021 Fungicide Challenge and you'll find updates, blogs going live in April and all the results at the end of the season for you to scrutinise in due course. You'll also, if you want, of course, as usual, be able to contact your local knowledge exchange manager, and all their contact details are on the website. Well, that rounds up our podcast today. Just reminds me to say thank you very much, Chloe, Jonathan and Ashley, for your contributions. And for you, the listeners, thank you very much for being with us. I hope you'll keep in touch with us during the year's challenge ahead. Thank you.